Amen. Worship Him and adore Him, Christ the Lord. I don't know what people that don't believe in the deity of Jesus Christ do with Christmas. I guess they do like everything else, pervert it, subvert it, deny it. I'm glad He's Lord, as much Lord as...
Very often, I have someone ask me if I think they have committed this sin. And we're going to talk about the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost first. The blasphemy against the Holy Ghost, the unpardonable sin. It's too loud, boys. Get me down just a hair. It's just every once in a while somebody comes up to me and they say, "Preacher." I say, "What?" They say, "I'm scared. Can you get me up just a little bit? Help them boys out back there, bro." They say, "I'm scared that I've committed the unpardonable sin. I went too far. What have I done?" Well, I hope to maybe help you out on that tonight. And you need to get this thing settled in your mind. You don't need to be worrying about that. A Christian, it's ringing. Use them headphones and you can tell if it's ringing. This is something you've got enough to worry about without going through your life afraid you've committed unpardonable sin. You've got enough problems and burdens without this. So I need everybody to be quiet and still. We don't want any talking back and forth between anybody. This is very important that you listen tonight. I believe demons will be working extra hard during this to make sure you don't hear. They'll be working extra hard to make sure you don't hear. When you get in these things like we're going to talk about tonight, the demons begin to work. And so we need everybody's concentration, and we need you still. So let's just see how still everybody can be just for a minute. All the kids looking this way. There you go. Be real still now. How many of you, the thought has ever crossed your mind that you have committed the unpardonable sin? Raise your hand. All right, that's just about everybody in here. I remember one time I done something, or I said something, and boy, when I done that, something come in me and said, "That's it right there. You've done it. The unpardonable sin, you'll never be forgiven. You're fooling yourself. You're going to wind up in hell." Boy, it scared me. Now, the only way the devil can get you on that is if you don't understand, if you're ignorant of the Bible. See, that's why it's important that you should study. If you don't study the Bible, the devil can get you on all kinds of tricks. He can pull all kinds of tricks on you. But if you know him, and you know your sword, and you know your weapon, and you know the Word, he can't get you half as much as he can if you're ignorant of the Word of God. That's why Paul was always saying, "Be not ignorant. Be not ignorant. Be not ignorant." Turn your Bible to Matthew chapter 12. First sin we're going to talk about tonight against the Spirit of God is blasphemy against the Spirit. All right, let's read it real slow. I know a lot of you read this a bunch of times, but let's get this thing settled and down pat once and for all tonight. I believe me and the ladies was talking about it at visitation one morning, and then somebody else mentioned it here a while back. Let's get this thing settled. I believe the devil will work on a woman with this more than he does a man a lot of times. Sometimes he does work on men with it, but I believe sometimes he can get in a woman's mind and worry her about this thing and make her think she's blaspheming the Holy Ghost and there's no hope for her. Matthew 12, verse 31. "Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men." Very plain from the words of Jesus. "And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. Now, the other place you find this is in Mark chapter 3. I believe it's Mark chapter 3. Turn over to Mark, the next book, the book of Mark, and look at chapter 3. And Mark chapter 3 and verse number 22. All right. He starts back up there in verse number 22. And here's where the scribes, the Pharisees, committed this sin. Here's where they done it, verse 22. And the scribes which came down from Jerusalem said. That's very important. You see that little word said. Under that word, underline that word said. It's not something they done. It's something they said. Everybody get that? Everybody got that? And the scribes which came down from Jerusalem said, He, Jesus, hath Beelzebub. Now, do you know what Beelzebub is? Everybody in here know what Beelzebub is. Beelzebub was the filth, the nastiest, filthiest name. It was the god of filth, the lord of flies. That's what it's called. It's a devil, Beelzebub. They said, He hath Beelzebub, that's a devil, and by the prince of the devils casteth he out devils. And then he tells them, and he called them unto him and said unto them in parables, How can Satan cast out Satan? He said, if I'm the devil, how come I'm casting out devils? If the devil's in me, how come I'm casting out devils? Why would Satan cast his own self out? And if a kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan rise up against himself and be divided, he cannot stand, but hath an end. No man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he will first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. Verily I say unto you, all sins shall be forgiven unto the sons of men, and blasphemies wherewith soever they shall blaspheme. But he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost hath never forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation. Why? Verse 30. Because they, what? Said, He hath an unclean spirit. He's got the demon. He's got the devil in him, in other words. Now, back to Matthew chapter 12, and we'll look at it. So the Lord says there's three things here. Or two or three things. He said it can never be forgiven. Here's a sin you can commit that you can never be forgiven for. And here's what it was. All right, say, here's a man. All right. Now, that man has, he is casting out devils. And there's another guy over here that's got demons in him. Now, this man is casting this demon out of this man. He says, get out. And when he does, this demon goes out. Now, these other people stand around here. And they said, I know how he's casting out them devils. That's the spirit of the devil in him making him do that. See? They said that right there, in him, giving him power to cast that demon out, is the spirit of the devil. Now, how did Jesus say he cast out devils? By the finger of God. Remember that? You know what the finger of God is? That's the Holy Ghost. The finger of God. That's what God wrote the Old Testament, the Ten Commandments with, His finger. All right, back yonder. Now, the Holy Ghost was in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ cast out devils by the power of the Holy Ghost. That's how He done it. And they said He's doing it by the power of the devil. So they were calling the Holy Ghost the devil. They did not say one word against Jesus. They didn't blaspheme Him. They didn't say, well, you're a low-down false prophet, you're a good for nothing. They'd get forgiveness for that.
They didn't say a word against Jesus. They said, it's the devil in him making him cast those demons out. All right, how many of you already knew that? Okay, most of you did. We studied on that before. Now, do you understand what the blasphemy of the Holy Ghost is now? All right, say if Jesus Christ walked in here. I said, he's a crook. He's a liar. Who would I be blaspheming? Him. You got that? What if I said, Jesus Christ is this and that, and I said some terrible things about him? Who would I be blaspheming? Jesus Christ. But what if I said, that's the spirit of the devil in him? I wouldn't be blaspheming him. I'm blaspheming what's in him, the Holy Ghost. Now, you hear all preachers tell the craziest thing because they don't know what they're talking about. And I remember when I first got saved, I thought that blaspheming the Holy Ghost was when you was in a service and the Lord is dealing with you and you turn around and walked out. And I thought that blaspheming the Holy Ghost was making fun of a woman shouting. And I thought that blaspheming the Holy Ghost was that. You're not blaspheming the Holy Ghost when you make fun of the woman. You're blaspheming the woman. I mean, you're not supposed to do that. That's a sin, but that is not. That people say, boy, I remember one time I saw a preacher on the street, and I made fun of him, and ever since then, I felt like I've committed the unpardonable sin. And that is a bad one. That is a bad sin. The Lord will get you for that. But according to the Bible definition, that is not blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. They called the Holy Ghost the devil. That's what they've done. Something they said with their lips. Now, so the blasphemy of the Holy Ghost is three things. Number one, it's a sin committed with the tongue. It's a sin committed with your tongue. You cannot blaspheme the Holy Ghost with your fist, or with your foot, or with your brain, or with your heart. It's the only way you can do it is with your tongue. The tongue is the only part of your body that can get you saved or damn you to hell. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, thou shalt be saved. It's the only. It don't say confess him with your hand. Confess with your tongue. That gets you saved, and that sends you to hell too. By thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Let's have a word of prayer before we go on with this. We didn't pray before we started. Father, we pray, Lord, that you'd open our eyes. God, I pray the scales will fall off every person's eyes here tonight, and they'll see this thing. And Lord, the Holy Spirit will have His way in preeminence here, and we want to honor you tonight. I plead the blood over this congregation. And Lord, open our eyes and help us get this thing settled in our heart once and for all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, now what if the devil keeps coming to you and says, you've done it, you've done it, you've done it, you've done it. What are you going to do? Go crazy? Wind up in Broughton? You're going to have to deal with it. If the devil keeps coming to you and he says, you blaspheme not. And probably after I teach on this tonight, he's going to jump on a bunch of us. So you remember one time you done this and that? Sometimes, I heard one guy say one time, the devil kept saying he blasphemed the Holy Ghost and everything. And he said, okay, well, so I have. I agree with you, devil. He went on to serve God. That's what the devil wants you to do, is sit around and worry your life away. Say, okay, I'm blaspheming the Holy Ghost. I'm going to hell, but I'm still going to serve God anyway the day I die. The Lord will take care of you. Where you mess up is by listening to all them thoughts that come in your mind. It's a sin that must be committed with the tongue. It's a sin that is committed, here it is, deliberately. It's a sin that's committed deliberately. I believe those Jews, I know they did. They knew good and well that wasn't the devil in him. They knew what they're saying. They deliberately called the Holy Ghost the devil. It's a sin committed deliberately. Somebody said, oh no. I made fun of my old grandma one time, and she was speaking in tongues or something like that, you know, and I made fun of her. I bet I've committed the unpardonable sin. No, it's a sin committed deliberately. Deliberate, on purpose, with intentions, premeditated, deliberate sin. And then it's a sin committed evil. There's never forgiveness. Those men that spoke at that day in the Word of God are in hell tonight. And they never could get forgiveness. They never could. Now, there are, different opinion, I guess you could say, over this sin of blaspheming the Holy Ghost. There is some question to whether, you know, people say, can a Christian commit the unpardonable sin? There's some question about whether anybody can commit it now. And the reason there is because this sin is never mentioned anywhere before or anywhere after this story here in Mark and Matthew. No, you can't find anywhere in the Old Testament where anybody done it, and you can't find anywhere in the New Testament where anybody done it after that. Now, don't say you can't. I'm not saying you can't. I'm just saying there's a possibility that it may mean that way. See? Now, Brother J. Harold Smith has that great message, God's Three Deadlines. God's used that message as much as any message that any man's ever preached. Literally, thousands of people have been saved through the message, God's Three Deadlines. How many of you have heard that sermon, God's Three Deadlines? All right. God's Three Deadlines, the first one is the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. The second one is the sin unto death. And then the third one is sending away your day of grace, or wearing out God's patience until He finally gives up on you, something like that. Now, I want to read you what J. Harold Smith said about a couple of men that he believes blasphemed the Holy Ghost. He said that all of these men that he know that had committed this sin were dead within 24 hours. Within 24 hours after they did it, they were dead. That's what he says. I mean, the Bible don't say that. And he may be right and he may not be right, you know. But that's what he says. He says this, I was conducting a revival near Greenville, South Carolina, and many had been saved, great power, Spirit had been demonstrated, and God's people were blessed. On Thursday night of the second week of the meeting, listen carefully, one of the deacons was standing in front of a cafe when two men rode up on a motorcycle. The deacon asked them to come to the meeting. The boys flew into a rage, cursed the deacon, the church, the pastor, and one certain J. Harold Smith. They used such loud, abusive language until the neighbors across the street threatened to call the law. They both declared that the whole meeting was of the devil, saying that while poor religious saps were over there in the church listening to that jackass preacher Bray, they would be in Spartanburg, South Carolina, enjoying a good show. They hopped on their motorcycle, and in less than 2 minutes, both of them had been crushed to death in a head-on crash with an automobile and plunged into hell. The next one. I was conducting a revival meeting in North Carolina. Over 1,000 had been saved and reclaimed. That's recaps, what we call them. The first 3 weeks, during the fourth week of the meeting, a friend who lived, one of the high school professors, asked him to attend a big tent meeting, the big tent meeting with him. The professor was cutting grass on his front lawn. He stopped cutting the grass only long enough to make this remark. Don't ever ask me again to go to that tent meeting. It is of the devil. Both of them said the same thing. It's of the devil. J. Harold Smith is a religious racketeer, a money grabber, a deceiver of poor, ignorant people, and mean as the devil. I hate the meeting and Smith. The neighbor said, I am sorry. I had no idea you felt that way about this great meeting and Reverend Smith. Before the professor could make one round on his lawn, he dropped dead. He was 29 years old, in perfect health, and I believe to my dying day he stepped over God's deadline and God killed him. Number three, this will be the last one. I was conducting a great meeting in one of our Baptist churches in South Carolina, and we come to the last service. I was pleading with sinners to come to Jesus when my attention was drawn to a fine young man standing on the very back pew, looking anxiously over the congregation. The Holy Spirit impressed me to speak with him. I did, and as I walked up to him, young man, won't you come to Jesus? I felt led of the God's Spirit to come and speak to you about your soul.
Looking me straight in the eye, he cursed viciously and closed his remarks by saying, "You and the Holy Spirit both go to hell. I don't want your Jesus and his salvation. I came here to get a couple of girls to go to a dance." He said, "The only reason I'm here is because of this girl. I don't care nothing about Jesus. I don't care nothing about... The only reason I'm here is because of my girlfriend." And as soon as he said that, it seemed I heard the voice of God say, "Let him alone. Get away from him. Don't speak another word to him. I'm going to kill him. He's committed the unpardonable sin." I walked back to the pulpit and said, "Friends, that young man..." He reached up and pointed and said, "That young man has stepped over God's deadline." He shrugged his shoulders and said, "Oh, yeah." He found his two girls 3 hours later. He stepped out on the porch surrounding the dance hall to take a smoke and a drink of liquor, and suddenly he screamed. He folded up like a jackknife and fell dead. Nothing wrong with him. Don't tell me God doesn't have a deadline. Now, those are from the message, God's Three Deadlines by Brother J. Harold Smith. And it's very evident God did kill those people. But as I was saying a while ago, there's some debate about this blaspheming the Holy Ghost. The only time anybody blasphemed the Holy Ghost in the Bible is when they spoke to Jesus Christ in the flesh and called him, said what's in him is the devil. And it's always safe to keep your mouth shut. You should never make fun of anybody. I kind of get weird feelings a lot of time, even when we kind of make fun of churches. Now, there's some you know good and well messed up. But there's some that you better kind of watch it, what you say. Even if you do think somebody's a little wacky, you're still better off to keep quiet about it. And there's a lot of things that we know is not of God. We know it's unscriptural. And it's all right for us to cry out against it. But if just because somebody may not worship just like you do, does not mean that they're full of the devil always. Now, if it's unscriptural, you know it ain't God. But and that's the modern-day tongues movement, all of that stuff. You never go into one of those services where it's done scriptural. Not a one. But sometimes people, I'm not saying that's an unpardonable sin, and of course we know that a Christian being eternally secure could not do that and go to hell. It don't say you can't do it, but there's one thing about it. You're going to heaven. Amen. You're going to heaven, that's for sure. Amen. So a Christian does not have to worry about the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. You don't have to do it. You got the Holy Ghost inside you. You're not going to cuss what's inside of you. All right? Is there any questions right quick before we move on to the next one? I know you'd have one. Yes, sir. Because a Christian's going to heaven. Yeah. I don't know if you could or not. Turn your Bible to 1 Corinthians 12. The Bible don't say you can't. But being eternally secure, you know you're going to heaven. Yeah, that's right. You talking about verse 3? Look at 1 Corinthians 12:3. "Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. And that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost." And what that's saying is, you've got the Spirit of God in you if you're saved. He dwells in you. And so, you ain't going to... It don't say you ain't, but it said you can't call Jesus accursed. No man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. That's the question. Yeah. Yeah, I have too.
That's what I mean. I mean, I know that the man born again, he's going to hell.
Yeah, but his reasoning is it's unpardonable. There's no forgiveness. You're in danger of eternal damnation. Now, what he's saying is a Christian's sins are all pardoned. They're all under the blood, past, present, and future. And once you're saved, you know, you can't get lost. You're going to heaven. You're eternally secure. And his reasoning is there, and that's what just about all Baptist preachers believe, that since you all your sins, past, present, and future, are forgiven, and there's one that can't be forgiven, that it stands to reason you can't commit to one that can't be forgiven, because all yours are forgiven. And I believe that. That's, yeah. It bothered me for a long time too. A long time that used to bother me. That's right. You're going. I appreciate you bringing that out, brother, because I know that's probably bothered a lot of other people in here too, hasn't it? I'd shake your head if it has. Okay. Do you have a question, Brother Jack? Right. Amen, brother. That sounded good to me. I like what he said there. He said the Holy Spirit being in you, he wouldn't let you commit it deliberately. That sounds good enough. I'll buy that. Brother?
That third one you read up there, and I got that message home, and the first two you read on that tape, they never said they said it was up with it. And that third one you read, he didn't even bless them.
Really? That's, I read it just like it said. Except skipped.
It's in here somewhere.
Which one did I read? The last one that I read? One at the dance. Oh, it's over here. Young man? About the young man? Yeah, he said, you and the Holy Spirit both. I don't want your Jesus and your salvation. That's all he said. I've had people tell me that. I had a prostitute in Washington, D.C. said something as bad as that to me. I've heard him. Man, you talk about cold chills go up and down your spine. Good night. When they start, they say, you and Jesus go to hell. And stuff like that. Just wicked. All right. Don't have any talking now except the one that's speaking. Anybody else got a question right quick? Brother John.
It's just that the people he warned about that blasphemy were not drunken bums on the street nor whores or prostitutes. They were religious people in the Old Testament.
That's right. That's why I put this in here. That's right. That's a good point. That's why I put that deliberately up here. A lot of times somebody run their mouth just because they're ignorant. And I guess there's people in here. Is anybody in here, did you ever cuss this church before you came up here? Okay, ours one, two. Anybody else willing to admit it? Three, four. Anybody else? Boy, the Lord sure will make you eat your words, won't he? Oh, Steve said. I've had a lot of people tell me that. They say, I used to hate you. I hated your guts. You know, I cussed that church and I done this and that. And then they got saved. But the reason you done that, because you didn't know what you were saying. You didn't really know what you were saying. Brother?
Brother,
yeah.
You said whoever speaks the word against the Son of Man, that was Jesus' earthly title too.
That's right.
So
sure was.
Well,
I wouldn't say it had to be, but it sure does seem like it. That's the only time it ever happened. That's the only time it ever happened. You can't find anywhere in the epistles, the book of Acts, Ananias and Sapphira didn't do that. I'm going to show you what they done meant. Or book of Revelation, or anywhere in the Old Testament where anybody's ever said that sin, their sin they committed was unpardonable. Ricky?
Well, that's where he got that from this, because it said, whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, Christ there in the flesh. That's what the Bible says. But it doesn't say you can't do it with Jesus not here. Don't say you can't. But it seems that way. I wouldn't take no chances. Everybody, y'all going to have to be quiet now. Don't be talking except the one that's speaking. Right. Yeah, that's a good point. Right. Right. That's a good point. Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's right. That sure is. That's right. That's a good point. Did everybody hear, understand that? We're living in the dispensation of the Holy Ghost. This is the age when the Holy Ghost came in the day of Pentecost. He's going to leave at the rapture. The Holy Ghost is here in a way that he was not here in the Old Testament. He was here in the Old Testament, but he's here now in a way that he was not in the Old Testament, indwelling in the believer's heart. And because of that, Brother Smith is saying that you can blaspheme him because this is his time, this 2,000 years of the age of grace that we're living in. That's a good point. Real good. Because actually, Jesus' body didn't have anything to do with that. They were speaking against the Holy Ghost. Anybody else, right quick? Before we move on, I'm just going to name the other ones. We done.
That's resisting the Holy Ghost and rejecting. There's a difference between rejecting and blaspheming. See, I can offer you a gift. I can say, here, you want this book? And you can just reject it. That's one thing. But if you cuss me, that's another thing. See, that's different. All right. Number two. The second sin against the Spirit in the Bible is insulted. Turn to Hebrews chapter 10. This is when they do despite under the Spirit. And look at Hebrews 10, mark this in your Bible. And look at it in verse 29, Hebrews 10, 29. Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy? And they've been talking about people dying for breaking Moses' law. Who hath trodden under foot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace, insulting the Holy Spirit by walking over the blood of Jesus Christ. Hebrews 10:29. Now, what does that mean? That means that what the person was saying. What that verse is saying is that the Spirit of God was in Christ. He bare witness of Christ. He wrote the Bible. And when you just walk over top of the blood of Christ, you are counting the blood sacrifice of Jesus Christ no more than the blood of a dog or a pig or a cat. And it doesn't have any redeeming value. It's just like another man or even worse. Is your brother still in the hospital, bro? I forgot to mention that a while ago. Brother Joy's brother is still in the hospital tonight. I had to take him up there last night. You pray for him. And Brother Roy Lee is preaching at Laurel Hill. You pray for him. All right. Number three. Third sin against the Spirit is the vexing. Vexing. And you can preach on that. Vexing. You can tell by looking at that word it ain't good, don't you? Isaiah 63:9-10. Turn your Bible to Isaiah 63 and see where these people vex the Holy Spirit. They sinned against him by vexing him.
In all their affliction, he was afflicted. And the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity, he redeemed them. And he bare them and carried them all the days of old. All right? Now, this is evidently a Christian. Well, or God's people. They weren't necessarily Christians as far as being born again in the Old Testament. But in the sense that we are. But they were God's people. They were redeemed. They were saved. And they were carried around by the Lord. And verse 10 said, but they rebelled and vexed his Holy Spirit. Therefore he was turned to be their enemy. And he fought against them. They vexed his Holy Spirit and God started fighting against them instead of with them, for them. Alright? No, it's a little bit different. It's caused by rebellion. You can quench it. We'll get to that quench in a minute. You can quench it without being rebellious, but vexed is connected with rebellion. I've got it wrote down here. It says, caused by rebellion in redeemed ones who have been shown their sin and their proud heart makes them refuse to do anything about it. It's when you get proud and cocky and haughty and you know good and well you're doing wrong and the Holy Ghost rebukes you and reproves you and you just vex his spirit. It's a little bit stronger than grieving, I believe. You can grieve the Spirit by just not testifying when he tells you to or something. Yeah, he vexed his righteous soul. It just kind of aggravated him, the Spirit of God. Anybody else got a better definition? You might have a Bible there that's got the meaning of the word vex there in the margin in Isaiah 63. Anybody got that? So they were rebellious. Now, when you get cocky and the preacher tells you you're wrong, that's why you young people here, all you teenagers, you ought to be very careful. Because see, here at this church we preach to and tell you what's wrong. And if you just say, well, I ain't going to do it, you could be guilty of sinning against the Spirit of God. If you just make up your mind you're not going to do what God deals with you about. I mean, you ain't rejecting Brother Danny. You're doing a lot worse than that. You're vexing the Holy Spirit. Number four. Go ahead, brother. Yeah. That's right. Like Pharaoh. To harass? Well, that's strong. Said that harass and torment the Holy Spirit. Torment the Holy Spirit. A Christian can torment the Holy Spirit. Boy, that's bad. Did you have something to say, Rita? Irritate. I said a while ago, aggravate. All right. The next one is in Acts chapter 7 and verse 51. It's resist. Now, here's what a lot of people do in church. Resist. Lost people. Lost man usually does this one. Acts chapter 7. And oh, what's his name preached that great sermon here? Stephen? I believe. And look here what he said in verse 51. Acts chapter 7 verse 51. Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost. You resist him. He said the Holy Ghost wants to speak to you, and you resist him. Now, resist is kind of like a football game. These are down here on one side, and these down here on the other side. And here's the quarterback, you know, and he gets back here with the ball, and these guys are trying to get to him. And the linemen here are resisting them. They're resisting them from getting to they're holding back. I guess about everybody in here has committed that sin. I guess about everybody in here has committed the sin of resisting the Holy Ghost. Now, I believe, I tell people this, I'm not sure, but I think that I got saved the first time the Lord ever really dealt with me. I think I did. The first time I ever remember God getting a hold of me was at Nebo Baptist Church, and I got saved. Now, I've heard a lot of other people testimony that God dealt with them for months or years, and they come to church a bunch of times. I know Brother James there come to church 2 years about it, didn't you? A year at least before he got saved.
How long did you come up? Over a year before he got saved. And of course, that don't mean a lot. Was there any time before that when you really felt like God was dealing with you and you wanted to come, or, you know, he's drawing you and you wouldn't? Good night. You ought to count yourself blessed, brother. All right, is there anybody else who remembers when you were growing up, when you knew the Spirit of God was dealing with you and drawing you and tugging at you, and you'd resisted him? Anybody else? Brother Thomas does. When you was little, brother? Let go? Yeah. Anybody else? Brother Steve? All right. Now, that's what resist means. I'd say that most time this will be a lost person, because we're going to take care of the sins of the Christians on these other ones here. I'm not saying a Christian couldn't do that, but most in this scripture, it was lost people. Now, the next one is tempt. Tempt the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 5. And this, of course, is Ananias and Sapphira. And you know what they've done. They lied to the Holy Ghost and tempted the Holy Ghost. Look at Acts chapter number 5. And, verse 9. Verse 9. Then Peter said unto her, "How is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord?" There was their sin there. They tempted the Spirit of the Lord. In other words, they were just daring the Spirit of God to do anything about what they'd done. They were just saying, "I dare you. We know we're doing wrong." And the Spirit of God knew that they knew that He knew they was doing wrong. And the Lord, see, the Spirit is a person. Now, one of the strongest doctrines and arguments you've got against the Jehovah's Witnesses is this. The Jehovah's Witnesses, or that's what they call themselves, teaches that the Holy Spirit is not a person. They teach the Holy Spirit is just a force, like electricity, that He is not a person. Now, what you can tell them is, it is impossible to sin against a force. You can only sin against a person. You cannot sin against electricity. You can go over and cuss that electricity till you're blue in the face. It ain't going to hurt it a bit. You can't sin against a tree. You can only sin against a person. See? Now, the way you know the Jehovah's Witnesses are wrong on that is because all the way through the Bible, people sinned against the Spirit. And if the Spirit's just a force like thunder or lightning, see, they talk about Him being the power of God. And He does demonstrate God's power, but He's a person. He's a part of the Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, the triune God. And they say, "Well, I can't understand that." Nobody can understand it. Well, nobody can understand that. That don't mean it ain't true. You can't understand how God can be three persons and just one God. Like old Sam Jones used to say, if I understood everything in the Bible, I knew somebody wrote it, didn't have no more sense than I did. And there's gotta be things in there that there's things in there nobody can understand. Smartest men's ever been. Now, you understand that. They tempted the Spirit of God. Now, this is what Gehazi did in 2 Kings 5, the old lion prophet there. And I won't take time to go into that, but you'll see there in 2 Kings 5, a fellow by the name of Gehazi. Tempt the Spirit of the Lord. And you know what they done? There's a pretender, and it was a sin against the Spirit. And it's a sin for me and you to pretend. It's wrong. It's a sin to pretend you're right with God when you're not right with God. Make people think you're real spiritual. It's a sin. I believe it's a sin to get up here in the choir and sing that I love Him. He's got control. I gave Him full control. I've done this and I've done that when you ain't. That's a sin. That's a sin. It's just as bad to sing a lie as it is to tell a lie. If you're out here cussing
telling dirty jokes and drinking liquor and running around on your wife and this and that. Man, you're crazy to get up here and sing these songs. You're crazy. I'd be afraid the Lord would knock my head off. I would. I mean, there's a lot of things I ain't scared of, but I'm scared of God. I'd be afraid. I'd be afraid to get up here and say, boy, I just love the Lord and everything's all right and live like a devil. I would. I'd be afraid if I was a kid to get in the youth choir and sing, and if I cussed and done everything and looked at dirty books and magazines and movies and stuff, I'd be scared. I'd be scared God would kill me. And if he wasn't so ignorant, he probably would. Ignorance is the only thing that saves a lot of people. The Lord just looks over it for a long time. But if you know better and you've been told, I never come in this pulpit. I never even come to this church without asking the Lord to clean my heart out of those ungodly filth and wash me. Buddy, I tell you, it's a scary thing to tempt the Spirit of God. Giving a false impression, you know. All right, let's get these last two and we're going to hush. Number 6, quenched. This, of course, is we're all guilty of. Quenching the Spirit. That's in... is it 1 Thessalonians? I didn't write my scripture down. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. And it says, quench not the Spirit. It's a sin to quench Him. 5:19? Okay. 1 Thessalonians 5:19. The sixth sin against the Spirit is to quench it. Now, that word quench is a little bit different than resist and tempt. That word quench is, what do you immediately think of when you hear the word quenched? Put the fire out, right? But hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. That's what I think of. I think the people that's lost are going into hell fire that'll never be quenched. That fire is never going to go out. Now, when the Holy Ghost sets the church on fire and you put the fire out, what have you done? You quench the Spirit. I'd like to see this church just on fire for God. And I believe that we've had a fire going here ever since it started. And sometimes it burns brighter than other times. But boy, I tell you, when we start getting in trouble, it's when people start quenching the Spirit. Like when we're having testimonies and the Lord moves on you and the Spirit of God. I believe I've quenched the Spirit a lot of times, buddy. I remember one time I was in a church, and I was way up here singing. And everybody was singing, I was way up here singing like his. And I got to feeling so good. I wanted to throw my songbook in the air and run all over the church, and go, woo, screaming and hollering. But I didn't. And I believe I quenched the Spirit. If the Lord tells you, if it just comes in your heart to just come up here and climb the top of that flagpole and sit there, the rest of the service, you better do it. I tell you what, you better make sure he told you to. I heard about this holiness one time that got in the Spirit, you know, and power of God's all over, and he run down the woods somewhere and vroom, went climbing up top of a light pole, and the Spirit departed while he's up there. And he couldn't get down. He's scared. If you're a Baptist, you don't have to worry about that. I said, he'll never leave you nor forsake you. He lost it while he's up there. Wouldn't you hate to be in the middle of a big shouting spell and lose your salvation? That'd be bad. Right in the middle of a message and think a bad thought and have to quit because you're not saved. So I got to quit preaching. I'm a lost man. You know that ain't the way it is. You know that ain't the way it is. That couldn't be right. Ain't no way. That's right. That's right. Y'all just done it right there by laughing at. But that's quenching is to drown his voice, stifle or silence the Spirit of God. How many of you ever really wanted to shout? I mean, you really wanted to, and you held back and didn't raise. Oh, my soul, look at that. I've done that many a time. Now, I think it's just as bad to want to get a good pump something up in the flesh that ain't that God, you know, that's a fake. That's just as wicked and low down, not more. Matter of fact, I'd rather it be dead quiet than a bunch of fake stuff going on. I like what old Larry Winkler used to say about that. A lot of people say, well, a little while fire is better than no fire. He said, not me. He said, give me real fire or no fire at all.
Amen.
Amen. I want the real thing or nothing at all, don't you? But don't quench the spirit. Drown him out. Did you know that the Spirit of God, when you first get saved, is real strong, and he'll convict you over sin in your life. And if you keep quenching him out, his voice is going to get weaker and weaker and weaker, where you can't hardly hear him no more. God tells you to quit smoking. You grieve him for about 6 months. 6 months later, he says, you better quit that. You just keep listening. Pretty soon, his voice is going to be farther and farther away. And one of these days, you'll want him to speak to you, and you can't hear him. And you hear a lot of talk about this, when does God quit dealing with a man? And in the New Testament, there's nothing. My spirit shall not always strive with man. We know that, as it was in the days of Noah. But God, it's not that God quits dealing with you. It's that you just get so hard-hearted you can't hear him. That's what it is. You just get the sear your conscience so much you can't hear God's voice no more. And then finally the Lord just says, okay. All right, the last one is grieve. And you can definitely grieve the Spirit of God. A Christian can grieve the Spirit of God. Ephesians 4:30. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30. You can definitely grieve the Spirit of God. That's like if my daughter, and I love my daughter and she's my daughter and she'll be my daughter forever. No matter what she does, she'll always be my daughter. But if they call me from her school and says, preacher, can you come down here and pick this girl up? And I say, yeah, I'll be right there. And they say, your daughter was caught stealing all the money in all the kids' lunch boxes, something like that. You know what that would do to me? It would grieve me. See, I wouldn't disown her, but it would grieve my heart that my child had done that. Now, when you sin, you know what you do? You grieve the heart of God. You hurt the Lord when you sin. It grieves him. How many of you ever had a girlfriend or a boyfriend that you was crazy over, and then one day come into school and seen them talking to somebody else, and they started liking somebody else, something like that? You ever had that? You know that feeling you get in your stomach? All right, that's just how God feels when you go to the picture shows and tell dirty jokes. And you make God feel just as sick when you drink beer and you cuss and you girls date lost boys and lost girls. You grieve the heart of God. You grieve. You say, oh, he's big old strong God. That ain't going to hurt him. The Bible says it does. It grieves him. Grieves him. A sensitive. What, somebody in here tell me the animal that typifies the Holy Spirit? Dove. A dove is easily frightened away. Easily. You don't have to do much to offend a dove. Have you ever done something, been in the Spirit, you know, and then just say one word and you felt like you grieved the Spirit of God, and the dove just went blah, 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 blah. We know he's still in you, but you know what I mean. It's just like his presence just... And then you prayed and said, Lord, please. And it's just like you're trying to woo that little dove back, saying, if you'll come back, I'll be nice. You know, come on back. I ain't going to run you off no more. And he has to trust you before he's going to come back and light on your shoulder again. And as soon as he gets on your shoulder, you go, ah! He'll fly away and he ain't going to come back. Unless you can scare him. You know, I mean, he's frightened away. And that's the way the Holy Spirit is. He's sensitive. Y'all might think I'm crazy. A lot of people do. My wife sometimes thinks I'm crazy. I'll back up and say something two or three times. No, I didn't say it like this. I'm trying to keep from lying is what I'm doing. And I'm saying, I tell something and it ain't exactly right. And the Lord will say, that's wrong. And I'll back up and say, no, it wasn't like this. And she'll just say, oh, forget it. Never mind. And I'll tell it three or four different ways trying to get it exactly right. And she thinks I'm crazy and a lot of other people think I'm crazy. But what I'm not trying to do is grieve a spirit. Because when you really get right, and it takes me 6 months to get right, and when I really do, I'm scared to move because I'm afraid I'll grieve him away.
Yeah.
And once you do grieve him away, don't ever get satisfied when he's grieved away.
Amen.
Want him back. Get him back. Get him back. All right, anybody else want to say something right quick? Anybody else? All right, let's wind this thing up here. We've done took longer than we usually do on this. Number one, blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. We're pretty settled on that. And we could say from all scriptural standpoints, and what I believe the Bible teaches, that's just for lost people. Number two, insult the Holy Spirit. From that Bible definition, it could go either way, but that would be mostly lost people. Vex. Number three, that definitely can be committed by a saved person. Resist. Number four, mostly lost people. It don't say a saved person, but in the context, it's lost people. Tempt. Save people. Quench. Save people. And grieve. Save people. So actually, saved people commit more of these sins than a lost person can. Anybody else want to say something right quick? I sure am. I guarantee it. There's a very fine line. That's sensitive. That's a touchy thing, buddy. It's like a house of glass. You're liable to break the whole thing if you start messing around on God. It's a serious thing, sin against God. Anybody else have any questions or comments? All right, let's bow our heads. Every head bowed and every eye closed. I want Sister to come get us a song. Brother John, get us a song tonight. No talking. Christians praying. Heads bowed and eyes closed. It's a dangerous, dangerous thing to sin against God. Dangerous. I want to ask you a question tonight. Let me ask you a question. Have you been deliberately, as a Christian, grieving the Holy Spirit of God? Have you? Might say, Brother Danny, the Lord's been dealing with me about something in my life, and I know good and well it's a sin. And I ain't even trying to do nothing about it. I'm ashamed of myself. Pray for me. You want to slip up your hand and say, pray for me tonight, God will help me. God bless you, God bless you, God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. All right, there'll be someone here to say, Brother Danny, sin in my life that the Lord's been dealing with me about, and I am trying to get the victory over it. I really am. I'm trying. By the grace of God, I'm going to. Pray for me that I'll have strength to get it. Some raise your hand. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. God bless you. That's a big difference. That's a big difference. There's somebody here tonight. Say, Brother Danny, I've resisted the Spirit of God. God's Spirit's dealt with me, and I know it's precious. And He's precious to my soul, and I shouldn't resist Him. Pray for me that I'll get things right with God before it's too late for me. Anyone, right quick, want to raise your hand? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. I appreciate those hands. I really do. Now, I tell you what you can do tonight. The devil's worked on us hard tonight. He's tried to prevent you from hearing this. But I'll tell you what you can do. You can get this thing settled between you and God tonight if you'll come to Him. You can get it settled once and for all. Why don't you do that? Why don't you just make your way out of that pew and come on down here to this altar and get it settled tonight, will you? Our Father, we pray in Jesus' name, the Holy Spirit of God will come on us, use us, do what needs to be done in this invitation. God, settle every heart, touch every mind, body, and soul. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. Sing. If you need to come, just come on right now. Come on. Come on. Come on right now. Amen. Come on right quick. Amen. Amen. Somebody else. If you need to come, just come on. Come on! Some wicked way in me. That's right. Amen. Let God move on you tonight.
Let the Holy Ghost of God have His way. Don't grieve the Spirit of God, friend. Come on, there's still room up here tonight. There's still room if you'll come. Come on, come on. Sing another verse, brother. Thank God, thank God. The Lord's moving tonight. Why don't you just come and say, Lord, take my life tonight. Take my life. Make it wholly thine. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Come on. God's speaking to your heart. Amen. Is God speaking to your heart tonight? If you don't know that things are right between you and the Lord, why don't you come and let's get it settled tonight, would you? Would you? Just come on right now. Come on. Tomorrow might be too late. The Lord wants to help you tonight. Won't you come? Amen. Amen. That's good. That's good. Come on. Let God help you tonight, friend. One of these days, it's going to be too late. It's going to be too late.
Lord, in me.
One of these days. Amen. Thank God. Somebody else. Somebody else. Why are we saying? Why are we saying? Won't you come?
Oh, Holy Ghost. Revival comes from
Thee. Let God
help
you tonight, friend.
Send a
revival.
Start the work in me.
Amen. Let God do a work in your soul.
Declare.
Come on, just get out of your seat and come tonight. Let the Holy Ghost of God do a work in your heart.
Our need for blessing now, O Lord, I humbly
sing another verse. Why are we singing? That's good, boys. That's good.
I praise Thee, Lord.
Help Brother Johnny sing. Everybody help him sing.
For cleansing me from sin.
Amen.
Fulfill Thy word and
yes, Lord,
make
me
pure.
Thank God. Thank
within.
God for what He's done. Praise His holy name.
Fill
Amen.
Me with fire.
Amen.
Where once I burned with shame. Grant my desire to magnify.
Let's sing that first and again. Let's sing that first and again. Everybody sing now while these are praying.
Search
me, O God. Search me, O God. Know my heart today.
And know my heart today. Try me. Oh, Savior, know my thoughts, I pray. See if there be some wicked way in me. Cleanse me from every sin. And set me
Let's sing
free.
That first verse again. What page is that on, brother?
141.
Number 141. Let's sing that verse again. That's that first verse. Everybody sing. Come on, sing.
Search me, O God.